lawyer don't know. I think they know, man. They don't know.
They know.
The goyim know. The goyim know. They know all the things that we have done. And now they're telling everyone. The goyim know. The goyim. Cause the goyim know.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts for around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you would like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you will be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. It is currently 1:03 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is... Let's look at the weather real quick. It is about 97 degrees and 30% humidity. Well, folks, it's another Oy Vey Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and we will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
I know that you've got opinions, but won't you consider this? Your skin tone oppresses millions, so just quiet down a bit. Come join me in gender studies, come get a useless degree. And when you make garbage money, take no responsibility. Come be PC, come be PC. Things are so splendid when you're offended, take it from me. We're fighting for progress, can't you see? Silencing all who might disagree. So respectfully, be a cry bully, come BBC.
I don't even
Come join us in our safe spaces, our shelters from points of view. And maybe on rare occasions, we'll let you think something new. But if we deem your thoughts toxic, we might have to shut you down. And if you critique our logic, better use our preferred pronouns. Come be PC. Come be PC. Our low-key racism is heroism, obviously. Let's all fight for the little guy from our parents' mansions online. Come join our prison, look what you're missing. Come be PC. Come be PC. We're a collective, varied perspectives must go unseen. Different opinions are okay, as long as they're different in the same way. Come join our cult, it's not difficult, oh, come be PC.
You've never experienced that question in your entire fucking life.
Neither have I.
You're fucking a white male!
I am a fucking punk.
You're correct.
Fucking old ass piece of shit.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by July 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10-cent guarantee is July 31st.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
All right, folks, welcome back to another Oy Vey Friday. We're going to start out with a few jokes just to kind of lighten the mood. So I found this comment on the Trenches quite funny. It came from our very own Mary in North Dakota. She said, I belong to the ADL, the Anti-Defecation League. Oops, hold on, I got to get my soundboard queued up. Fighting Jew shit everywhere. All right. What do you call a Jewish catch-22? A free ham. What's the difference between a Jew and a canoe? Canoe sometimes tip. All right. What's the difference between a Catholic wife and a Jewish wife? A Catholic wife has real orgasms and fake jewelry. All All right. But seriously, folks, there's been a lot of news on the Temple Mount in Israel as of late, almost ad nauseum if you're the type that looks into such things. So we're going to start out listening to the audio from one of my favorite YouTubers, Activist News. He's going to discuss what's going on at the Temple Mount and some of the history. We're a little bit pressed for time, so we're going to get right into it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another video. Today I wanted to talk about the events that are unfolding in Jerusalem and how it correlates with ancient prophecy involving the implementation of a one-world government and the coming of the Antichrist spoken of in the Book of Revelations, or who Muslims would refer to as Dajjal. Now, at this point, I just wanted to stress that it doesn't matter if you are religious or not, because it does not change the fact that there is a group of people working together toward ruling the world from Jerusalem under a one-world government. Now, if that seems like a bit of a mouthful, I ask that you watch this video until the end. The problem is that many people see the difficulties in the Middle East, and specifically as they are related to the Temple Mount, to be political problems. The reality is, this is not a political problem at all, or at least not solely, but largely a spiritual problem. Another reason I made this video is to detail the importance of the Temple Mount and how it relates to current events. Chaos has erupted in Jerusalem over the past week that has resulted in at least 5 deaths and 200 injuries. The heightened tensions began a week ago when 3 Arab citizens of Israel entered the central area of Jerusalem, known to the Jews as the Temple Mount and to the Muslims as Haram al-Sharif, the holy site of both Jews and Muslims in Jerusalem, supposedly killing 2 Israeli police officers. Official Israeli statements claim that the assailants were shot on sight. It's unclear if this was a false flag at this stage, as this is still developing news. We know from history that this particular area, sacred to both Jews and Muslims, has been an area long sought after by the Israeli state. In retaliation to this public event carried out by the Israeli Arabs, the IDF has imposed restrictions at the holy site, ones that were not taken very well by the locals. Some of these included restricted access to the holy site and the setting up of metal detectors to the entrance.
I just want to give you an update, folks. The metal detectors have been taken down, but they've replaced them with other technologies. We'll get into that a little bit later. Let's continue.
Clashes and protests broke out, which resulted in the violence that left at least 2 Palestinians dead and more than 200 Palestinians injured from the intense clashes over the week. According to Haaretz News, a major Israeli news outlet, the decision to install metal detectors was made during a 30-minute call conference when Netanyahu convened just before he boarded his plane for a 5-day visit to Budapest and Paris. On the line was Defense Minister Lieberman, Public Security Minister Erdan, and senior members of the Israeli Defense Force, the Shin Bet, and the police. Netanyahu's mistake was not just in installing these detectors, but mainly in the decision-making process that preceded it. Even though he knows very well that the Temple Mount was the most volatile point in the Middle East, if not the entire world, he elected that evening to deal with a complex, strategic topic based on tactical security considerations. Now, Haaretz News bring up an interesting point here, one that is central to this whole story. They claim that the Temple Mount is the most volatile part of the Middle East, if not the entire world. They are probably correct in saying this, and it is definitely something that should not be overlooked, and I'll explain why briefly when I consider some of the history behind this site. Before I get into that, it's important to also bring up the amount of tension that Netanyahu has created now, because from the Zionist perspective, they don't want to undo the security changes that have been made. His administration claimed that by removing the metal detectors and security presence now, it would be giving in to the Arabs. It also heavily goes against the fundamentals of political Zionism, which is to seize land and never, ever hand it back. To never give up an inch of its colonialist empire. And of course, the Palestinians reject the metal detectors because they view the move as Israel asserting further control over the site. This political chess move is a provocation into something that has been rumoured of for many years, that is, the prophesied destruction of the mosque and the rebuilding of the Temple of David.
Now, beginning with the Palestinian Minister of Islamic Endowment and Religious Affairs, has warned the Al-Aqsa Mosque is in danger of destruction due to Israel's excavations under the compound. Now, Sheikh Yusuf Idias said in a statement that the excavations could lead to religious war in the region even, which he says the Israeli regime ignites every day. Idias added that Israel's actions are in gross violation of international law. Tel Aviv says the excavations are part of the archaeological program. Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third holiest site in the Muslim world. Islamic countries have repeatedly warned Israel against desecrating the mosque by digging underneath it.
The biggest obstacle to rebuilding this temple, however, is the fact that in its location, another building stands. That building, the Dome of the Rock, which is an Islamic shrine located on the Temple Mount in the Old City of Jerusalem. And this is not just any mosque, it's said to be the second mosque ever built. According to some Islamic scholars, the rock is the spot from which the Islamic prophet Muhammad ascended to heaven accompanied by the angel Gabriel. Further, Muhammad was taken here by Gabriel to pray with Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, according to the Islamic beliefs. However, according to the Jewish tradition, the stone is the site where Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. It is the location the rabbis believe will bring world peace and unity upon the arrival of the Messiah. However, followers of the Bible believe it is the location the Antichrist will emerge. So, the location holds a lot of importance to all three major Abrahamic religions. Now, before I get deep into this, I wanted to stress the importance that it doesn't actually matter if you are religious, atheistic, or agnostic. It doesn't even matter if you are Christian, Muslim, or Jew, because it doesn't change historical facts. It also doesn't change the fact that there is a conservative effort being carried out by Orthodox Zionist Jews to take over this land and to rebuild Solomon's Temple, otherwise known as David's Temple. So whatever personal belief you subscribe to, it is irrelevant. I'm just trying to present the information as I have found it. When you go out of your way to purposely fulfill a prophecy, that's what you call a self-fulfilling prophecy. When a group of people force something to happen out of their own will, all while claiming it is the will of God. From the implementation of the United Nations to the ever-expanding borders of Israel, all of this has been carried out as a result of Zionist Jews and globalist bankers collaborating. Although in Judaism, the rebuilding of this temple is meant to be done by the Jewish Messiah. A number of organizations representing Orthodox Jews have been formed with the objective of realizing the immediate construction of the Third Temple in present times. For many years, the city of Jerusalem was instated by the United Nations to be an international city, to symbolize the unity and balance between multi-faith residents who place religious importance on this land. However, it didn't take long for the Israeli state to make a move on the Arab state and to push Jerusalem into the hands of the Jews. Slowly but surely, the Jewish chokehold of Jerusalem had gotten stronger and stronger. In August 1967, after Israel's capture of the Temple Mount, Rabbi Shlomo Goren, the chief rabbi for the IDF, began organizing public prayer for the Jews on the Temple Mount. Rabbi Goren was also known for his controversial positioning concerning Jewish sovereignty over the Temple Mount. A few hours after the Israeli flag was hoisted over the Dome of the Rock in 1967 during the Six-Day War, Israelis lowered it on the orders of Moshe Dayan and invested the Muslim Waif with the authority to manage the Temple Mount, in order to keep peace. So right from the get-go, there was a lot of tensions about this certain place. On August 15th, 1967, shortly after the Six-Day War, Goren led a group of 50 Jews onto the Temple Mount, where, fighting off protesting Muslim guards and Israeli police, they defiantly held a prayer service. Fast forward to 2014, Israeli intelligence officers entered Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and raided the Dome of the Rock. It was an insult to the Muslims at the time, who viewed the act as a provocative attempt to get a reaction.
Since the beginning of this month, strict measures have been implemented on the Muslims' entry to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The soldiers have been preventing Muslims to enter the mosque from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., while allowing the settlers to enter and desecrate our holy site.
Countless times, Israeli officers have incited violence in this area and have carried out raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque. They are trying to push the Palestinians into action, so the Zionist reaction can be to seize this land. For many years that followed, Zionists tried to claim that Jerusalem should be the capital city of Israel, a move that would effectively push the Muslim Arabs out of control and leave the future of their mosques in question. In more recent times, we see this idea being endorsed by none other than Donald Trump, who seems to have a very strong relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
Back in November 2016, Breaking Israeli News put out a very interesting article, which claims the Nascent Sanhedrin is calling on Russian President Vladimir Putin and US President-elect Donald Trump to join forces and fulfill their biblically mandated roles by rebuilding the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Rabbi Hillel Welse, spokesman for the Sanhedrin, contacted Breaking Israeli News to announce that the election of Trump, who has promised to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, coupled with Putin's expressed desire for the temple to be rebuilt, prompted the Jewish court to send a letter offering the two the opportunity to act as a modern-day Cyrus figures. Cyrus figures are non-Jewish kings who recognize the importance of Israel and the temple. Rabbi Weiss explained that the US elections have made the eternal Jewish dream a very real possibility. Quote, "We are poised to rebuild the temple. The political conditions today in which the two most important national leaders in the world support the Jewish right to Jerusalem as their spiritual inheritance is historically unprecedented," Rabbi Weiss told Breaking Israeli News. The Third Temple is portrayed as a religious notion and desire in Judaism, rooted and expressed in many of Judaism's prayers for the return and rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That had once stood at the first and second temples that were destroyed by the ancient Babylonians and the Romans. Since the destruction of the second temple in 70 CE, religious Jews have expressed their desire to see the rebuilding of the third temple on the Temple Mount. For many Jews, the remains of this temple can be found at the Wailing Wall. However, for Christians, they believe that this is just a wall and was not a part of the second temple.
Now, there is no temple in Jerusalem at this time. The temple was destroyed in AD 70, and not one stone was left upon another. A lot of people will wrongly believe that that Wailing Wall, where the Jews will go there and do this kind of thing, you know, to the wall, they say, oh, that's part of the temple that's left. No, not one stone was left upon another. That wall is not a part of the temple. That is just a wall.
Those embedded within Orthodox Judaism believe in the rebuilding of a third temple and the resumption of sacrificial worship, although there is a disagreement about how the rebuilding should take place, not to mention the fact that this is also a very holy place for Muslims as well. It's for these reasons mentioned that the Haaretz article that we looked at earlier referred to this land as possibly being one of the most volatile regions in the world. The Temple Institute and the Temple Mount at Eretz Yisrael Faithful Movement each state that it's a goal to rebuild the third temple on the Temple Mount. The Temple Institute has already made several items to be used in the third temple. The Rothschilds are believed to be the major sponsor of this upcoming temple project. In December of 1995, the Jerusalem Masonic Lodge was established adjacent on the Temple Mount in the underground grotto of King Solomon. The lodge was founded by the Grand Master of the Italian Illuminati Galunia di Bernardo, who at the opening of the ceremony declared, "The rebuilding of the temple is at the center of our studies." Unquote.
But what we see today is that not one stone of the temple is left upon another. But the temple will be rebuilt in the future. Not hard to believe at all. That's what the Jews have been planning for decades. Why do you think they're even back over there? Why do you think thousands of years later, the nation of Israel is back in existence? Why? Because the Zionist Jews have gone there with a plan and a desire to eventually rebuild that temple and dominate the entire world from Jerusalem. And they will rule over the Gentiles. That's what they believe. And they're going to do it with the Antichrist at the helm.
One of the main reasons the rebuilding of this temple is being so heavily endorsed by non-Jews as well goes back to its importance in the occult. As Solomon, the son of David, built many temples in the name of Moloch, whose symbol was the six-pointed star, the hexagram. This symbol, used today on the Israeli flag, was the one adopted by King Solomon, who occultists and Satanists adamantly state became one of the most powerful shamans in world history. The rebuilding of this temple is not only important to Orthodox Jews who believe this will fast-track the coming of the Messiah, but it's equally important to the occultists. So this is another reason why you see such a big push by the globalists to build this temple, even by people who are not Jewish. In fact, one of the stated goals of Freemasonry is to rebuild Solomon's temple. From their perspective, it's more than just some building. According to the Apostle John's writings, there is a spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of the opposition to the identity of Jesus Christ. Specifically, he was writing to warn of the dualistic heresy that denied that Christ lived as a physical human being. Because the Jews do not accept Jesus as being their Messiah, they are still waiting around for some Messiah to show up. However, from the biblical perspective, the one that will come is the Antichrist. The Bible does not reveal specifically who the Antichrist is, speaking instead of his corrupt teachings, but it does give many clues. Whether you have a biblical worldview or not, there is indeed a plan to self-fulfill this Jewish prophecy. It's for this reason that there is so much focus on the Temple Mount. Every time something happens there, like this recent escalation of security, people really start to freak out. What happens in the Middle East occurs due to direct control of the globalist elite, simply because the plan for a one-world government culminates with Jerusalem. Much of what happens in the Middle East appears to be uncontrolled chaos. In truth, it is controlled chaos, and for the most part, a purposely placed distraction. Israel needs to be under constant threat for this plan to work out and for the finalization of their plans to come to fruition. Through the chaos and the destabilization of the Middle East, a peaceful resolution will arise to solve the thousand-year-long feud. However, it is through deception that the enemy creates war. Whether you think this is just another building, the coming of the Antichrist, or the coming of the Messiah, I'll leave that up to you. However, that's about all I have time for today, folks. But if you do enjoy these videos, be sure to like the video and share it around on your favorite social media platform. If you have any questions on this topic, be sure to comment below. As always, guys, thanks for watching. Peace.
All right, so that was Temple Mount Takeover, Jerusalem Prophecy Coming to Fruition. And again, that was from Activist News on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe if you're yet to do so. Now, we got a couple articles to do some updates on that particular subject, but I'd also like to open the second half of the program up to the callers. If there's anything you guys want to talk about, we'll just open the lines up and we'll get right into it. All right, so we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in a few minutes, and here we go. We'll be right back.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by July 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is July 31st.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
I've been drinking all day. Get pulled over, Ivy. Driving while drunk, not my fault, it's the Jews. I'm Mel fucking Gibson. About Israel, I'm bitchin'. Jews, Jews, Jews. They're cocksuckers and whores. Tel Aviv, we do not need you. Fuck you if you speak Hebrew. You killed Jesus Christ, so in hell, you'll be damned. Fuck your stupid Hanukkah. I'll shit in your yarmulke. Jews, Jews, Jews. You're the world's herpes sore. Palestine and Lebanon have got a real good plan. Won't you take the Jews and drive them into the sea? A stupid Jew. I'm too drunk to be walking, but Jews I am trash talking. Jews, 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 causing all the world's wars.
Fucking Jew.
Palestine and Lebanon have got a real good plan. Won't you take the Jews and drive them into the sea? Screw the Jews. Hollywood, you are controlling. Mel Gibson, he loves Hezbollah. Jews, Jews, Jews. They're cocksuckers and whores.
Jew? You? Fucking Jew? You? Fucking Jew? You? Fucking Jew? Fucking Jew? You? Fucking Jew?
I've been drinking all day. Got pulled over, Oy-vey. Driving while drunk. Not my fault. It's the Jews. I'm Mel fucking Gibson. On Israel, I'm pissing. Jews, Jews, Jews. They're cocksuckers.
Fucking Jew!
Fucking Jew!
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. All right, it is currently 1:36 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. And that was Ned Sings the Mel Gibson Jew Song. Might be a little inappropriate, but I found it funny. So I got to unmute real quick the caller line, so let me just do that. 1 second, guys. Okay, so I should be able to hear the caller line. If there's anybody who wants to come up, go ahead and talk right now. So I'm waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it was for somebody else that wanted to come. Anyway, you know, Dave, they want everyone to help build that damn wall in Israel. The hell with that. You tell Israel to get their ass over here and build that wall in Mexico. Then we'll talk.
Were you talking about rebuilding the temple or something different?
Yeah, rebuilding whatever they want. If they want any U.S. help over there with our labor and our taxes, Netanyahu needs to get his ass over here and start laying some brick. I mean, all we do is give these clowns money. They give us jack shit. I'm tired of it. They need to get over here. They need to do a little engineering. They got some beautiful walls they got built over there to keep the Palestinians out. Let's use some of that Jew muscle over here now.
Well, what I found most interesting about the video that we played is the occultist aspect of it. The fact that the Freemasons and the Satanists want to build the Temple of David, the Temple of Solomon. So it seems that they want to, and Trump's right in line with it, that they want to create this world government with Jerusalem as the headquarters of it. So I don't know, what do you think about that?
Well, that's all bullshit. I mean, Drew, like the lady said, it's only that, I don't know. But that wall that these Jews are kissing all the time and all that, it's not even a sacred spot. It's just a wall, she said. Yeah, I understand they want to rebuild that temple or whatever. But before we start using international money, they need to get their ass over here to Mexico and, take a long, hard look at about a 90-foot-tall wall. Well, and you use some of that Jew money over here to build that wall.
Well,
and then we'll talk.
We've discussed this ad nauseum. If you build a wall out in the middle of nowhere, you're still going to need to have people watching it. There's nothing that you can build that can't be undone or compromised or gone around. We've all seen the tunnels. You know, they got tunnels. They're able to tunnel for, I don't know what the exact distances are, but quite a decent distance. They tunneled in California, so there's that aspect of it. Then, depending on the material that you make the wall out of, it's not that hard to make a hole in it. Even if you made it out of block, even if you made it out of solid concrete, if nobody's watching it, you can just cut a hole right in it. So I want to say that this, as far as... Go ahead.
They got hundreds of miles of Jew wall in Israel. That is, you know, the mighty fine craftsmanship. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm just, my point is.
But I'm sure they're watching that
Netanyahu
wall.
Netanyahu needs to put his ass over here and do something for us for a change. I'm getting goddamn tired of sending him money and labor and whatever the hell else we give him, missiles and nuclear warheads and, you know, F-35s. I mean, the hell with them. Get his ass over here and do something for us.
Well, I'm not versed in international law, but I'm sure you could make a case that he's a criminal on an international scope and try him in the appropriate manner. Did we have another call? I thought I heard a voice.
Yeah, you did. Thanks, David. It's Katie. I thought that was really interesting, too, that point that you were on that video that you were mentioning to Mark about, you know, it's the Satanists that want to build that temple. I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard that. That was real interesting. It doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I mean, if that were actually the case.
From my understanding, you know, go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. I just heard like a little. Anyway, there was something else I wanted to say. Oh, yeah, that song you played. Oh, my God. That was a total hilarious crack.
The Mel Gibson song?
God, what's that?
The Mel Gibson song I played?
Yeah. That was totally awesome. That was the funniest thing I've ever heard, yeah.
Well, eventually I'm going to run out of funny stuff, but I got a few more waiting in the wings, so next Friday. But I'll just put it out there. I encourage people to send me jokes. The jokes that I did today, Mary in North Dakota sent all of them, and I didn't even use all of hers yet. But send me jokes, send me songs, give me stuff to work with, and make my job a little easier. It's davidmatthewrock@gmail.com. That's the best way to get in contact with me. Now, I'm not an expert in Freemasonry either, but from my understanding, a Freemason hall is some sort of recreation of Solomon's Temple. Is this something that any of you guys have heard?
Not me.
Okay. Now, I have some updated news on this particular subject, and we can get into it, but is there any other stuff that you guys want to talk about? Maybe what's going on with the Bundy trial or any other bits of news we've had during the week?
Just real quick, since we're on the topic of Israel. I saw that they're going to, allow hemp to be grown over there. I don't know if you saw that I'm not sure who posted it, but.
That was me.
Yeah, I thought that. Okay, there you go. Yeah, I thought that was real interesting.
I thought it was quite ironic, actually, that they're going to be growing hemp in Israel.
Well, yeah.
Yet there's no discussion of legalizing.
The ropes
what's that?
They're getting their ropes ready.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be using them on us. Well, if we got to use plastic rope to hang them, that'll work, but the traditional stuff might be a better idea. Hemp farming is definitely one of the solutions that we need to employ in this nation. We need to get back our agriculture, and I don't mean the subsidized Monsanto agriculture. I think it's quite interesting when you go out into the country, you got a bunch of people that identify with the right, but they all want their farm bills and their subsidies and all that. So they seem to be they're workers, they're hard workers to a degree, but they're on the government tit, they're on the welfare dole. Apparently they don't want to, they're too afraid to participate in a free and open market. They want to have all their competition knocked down, and they want all the regulation in place to keep other people from, competing with them. So I found that to be quite interesting. And those are the same people that...
Real quick, one of these days we need to do a show on, and we'll title the show, What the Hell Has Israel Ever Done for America? I mean, I'd sure like to see that list. I mean, nothing is the answer, not a goddamn thing. What has Israel ever done for America? That would be a great title for a show.
Mark, they're God's chosen people, so get on your knees and give them all your shekels. Or just bend over and take it deep. No, I don't really, other than causing us problems, other than dragging our name through the mud, and other than making us look ridiculous and become the enemy of large sections of the world, I don't know what they've done to our benefit. There's a lot of really intelligent and good-hearted Jewish people. When you look at who the Jews are most opposed to in the BDS movement, it appears to be their own ilk. So the Jews that are coming out against all this stuff are the ones that BDS is most squarely pointed at. And just a little bit of research on Google, and you're going to find BDS laws coming out of the woodwork, whether it's Texas or Indiana, or they're trying to pass the one in D.C. And I know probably all sorts of European countries and Canada, they all got their BDS laws in place. And like I said, that's squarely pointed at Jewish institutions that are trying to stop the insanity that's going on. So all this has to be coming to a head. All this has to be coming to something. When and what and where, it's kind of hard to say. I brought up the article I read yesterday about nuclear non-proliferation and the whole issue with Iran, and the fact that The Guardian mentioned the Samson option. I discussed this with Mark Kornke on the 8 o'clock hour Eastern time last night, and he had some quite interesting things to say. You might want to, once that gets put up on the archive, you might want to go back and check that. But he equated a lot of what's going on. Or actually, a different caller brought up the Bohemian Grove, and he started talking about the Satanists and all that stuff. So you're getting an outer story, which would be a biblically Jewish, you know, story. But then there's also that inner story, which ties into Freemasonry. And when you look at the construction of Washington, D.C., the whole city is just a big, I don't know what you would, a big symbol or a big temple. I don't know what the best term would be. You got the pentagram in the streets of D.C. It's only missing one little part of it, which I guess is also spoken about in Satanist literature. Let one leg be missing, and that points right to the White House or the Washington Mall. Then you got Albert Pike's Freemason Hall, 13 blocks from the obelisk, you know, the monument. And then when you start looking around, you can see ball statues, and you start looking at the paintings, and you start converting some of the Latin sayings into English, and there's just a big occulted, and that means hidden, ladies and gentlemen, occulted history in the United States. The city that I'm from is relatively old. It's called Rochester, New York. And when you go to some of the cemeteries there, you'll see the sun disc, which is that little round disc with the eagle wings on it. You'll see Knights of Malta. You'll see Freemason. You'll see Rosicrucian. You'll see Order of the Eastern Star. You see all of these different groups. So 100, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, whatever the time frame was, there was a whole bunch of people participating in these groups. Maybe it's gone more underground now. I don't know. But if you think about it, at that point in time, people didn't have television, so they didn't just sit there like an idiot on the couch and drool. They actually associated. And everybody had these little groups, these little power factions that they were a part of. And I don't think there's anything new to what we're seeing. It's quite old, and it appears to be evil. You know, anybody that's choosing to dominate their fellow man for power is evil in my book. You know, I'm of the belief of live and let live. You know, if you're not harming me and you're not harming anybody else, so be it, you know. And then you get a song coming from, Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die, the one for the Bond song, which would be the exact opposite of Live and Let Live. In fact, if you look at the ideologies of the folks in Israel and the ones pushing this Zionist shit, they definitely have the Live and Let Die ideology. And then another thing that I find kind of interesting, we can tie this in, is that if you look into some of the Beatles albums, you can see Aleister Crowley right in those photos. And Aleister Crowley, you can see him in other photos throwing those little devil horns. And if you guys caught my first show, I called up everybody's favorite fat boy, Alex Jones, the day that Rand Paul was on, and discussed how even Ron Paul was throwing those little devil horns. So we have to remain vigilant. We can't take anything for granted, and we need to take a good hard look at everybody. You know, when we start getting a Trey Gowdy out there, we got to question, who is this guy and why? You know, what are they really presenting to us? And sometimes it's not what they're saying, it's what they're not saying. And in Ron Paul's case, you couldn't nail him down on 9/11. At first, he would throw these little hints, oh, yeah, I think this, blah, blah, blah. But you could never get him to come straight out and say it. And then when he finally got pressured by the mainstream media, and who knows how that all worked out, let's just assume it's scripted, he came and he took a big shit on all of us and said, yeah, 9/11's not an inside job and y'all are crazy. But none of this really surprised me, because look at what he did both times he ran. He gave up for no reason. Why did he give up? You know, there was no point in giving up. He should have used all of that momentum all the way to the end, okay? And if he was thinking somebody was going to assassinate him or his family, then you know what? When you're at the Republican National Convention or wherever and you're up on that microphone, you say it. This person threatened me at this time, and this is how they threatened me. And I want all of my supporters to know it, okay? So if anything happens to me, it's BS, you know? Just like the DC madam said on the Alex Jones show, if anything happens to me, it's an assassination. And then they found her strangled in her shed, or hung in her shed. So I don't buy into the Ron Paul crap. I don't buy into the Trey Gowdy stuff. I don't buy into any of it. And just because somebody might say a couple things that make me feel, you know, a certain type of emotion or response, or it might be kind of in league with what my goals are or what I think should happen, doesn't mean that it's correct. Doesn't mean that that person is legitimate, because it's very easy to play on people's emotions and it's very easy to pull on their heartstrings and all that. What I need to see is consistency over a long period of time, okay? And if you're only going halfway there, that's no good. We need to expose all of this. We need to question all of this. We need to even question our own beliefs and our own thoughts. You know, we can't walk around thinking that we know everything and this is the only way. You know, we need to be flexible. When better information comes out, we need to be willing to change. So I don't want to sit here and talk the whole time. Did you guys have anything else you want to bring up? Or any questions you want to ask me? Anything?
Yeah, yeah. David, it's Katie. I like what you're saying there. You know, I think about up there in the Congress, you know, I think they call them the Gang of Eight. There's, you know, eight fellows up there. I think they're all males. I'm not sure. But anyway. You know, it's like you said, you got to question everything. I mean, the basic for me is guilt by association. I mean, they, you know, we understand what the so-called government is. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a criminal enterprise. You know, there may be quote unquote good, you know, individuals in there, but I mean, to not even, it's kind of like Ron Paul. I mean, the guy had to have known. You know what I'm saying? I mean, why didn't you just come out, like you said, and just say, look, if they're probably going to try to kill me, but this is the facts straight up right here. But anyway, so even the good guys are, you know, I look at them with skepticism because of the association. I mean, if we can know that, you know, we're under War Powers Act, I mean, gee Louise, don't they? You know what I mean?
Of course they do. Don't they? They reinstitute it? I mean, they brought the, didn't they have to re-sign the, the Patriot Act? Didn't they re-sign that back into law? It seems they always agree on those fronts. Continue, Katie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, so it's, the whole thing is stinking. And I don't know if you saw this post, Galen put it up today. It's called The Utter Distortion of Common Law. Did you see that?
I breezed by it. I didn't take a good enough look at it. You want to talk about it?
If I can't just read it, it's just too, like, meme and then, you know, quotes here. The quote is by a Herman Wouk, W-O-U-K. I guess he's a, you know, an evil guy, Jew. Anyway, he says, the Talmud is to this day the circulating heart's blood of the Jewish religion. Whatever laws, customs, or ceremonies we observe, whether we are Orthodox, conservative, reform, or merely spasmodic sentimentalists, we follow the Talmud. It is our common law. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, whether we are Orthodox, and I've watched YouTube videos like you mentioned, I mean, there are, you know, quote-unquote Jews over there that are opposed to the Zionist state. I mean, and those are the Orthodox Jews. I mean, it's, what? Anyway, I thought they were the good Jews. But anyway, and there's another one here just under that. It says, quote, and this apparently comes out of the Talmud. It's from Midrash, M-I-D-R-A-S-C-H, Talpoit, page 225-L. It says, quote, Jehovah created the non-Jew in human form so that the Jew would not have to be served by beasts. The non-Jew is consequently an animal in human form and commanded to serve the Jew day and night. So, anyway.
I would categorize that with rationalization. Unless you are actually a socio or a psychopath, people need to rationalize their bad behavior. And one of the ways to do that is by marginalizing somebody into some sort of a group and then trying to dehumanize them. So if your goal was to create a religious text that would create a group of operatives, some people who maybe aren't even necessarily in the know, but people that have a mindset and they function in such a way that they can be used as willing servants, or there's another term when you're not willing, when you're just... Oh, useful idiots, you know. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a lot of people in the Jewish sects of religions that are being used for this purpose. You know, I met a Jewish man in Tucson, and he used to do food trucks. He would get the stuff from the farmers and bring it to the markets and all that. And he was quite a leftist and a hippie. He was actually growing pot. He knew Mayor Rothschild in Tucson. I was actually worked with him a little bit until I realized, maybe this ain't my thing, and I walked away from it. But through his association with Mayor Rothschild in Tucson, he got one of the first licenses to grow up to 72 plants on his property. And I try to pick everybody's brain. You know, if I can give them the benefit of the doubt for a little bit and pick their brain and then start to interject with some of my thoughts and feelings and question them in such a way where I can really get their brain going, that he's paranoid. He's paranoid that people are going to, that there's going to be another, a Fifth Reich, that we're going to be rounding up Jews and putting them on the spit over the fire and roasting them. I mean, that's literally how he feels. And back in Rochester, which has a high Jewish population, I know some of my mom's friends also have that same feeling. They feel completely paranoid, like the whole world's out to get them, and they feel isolated. So they kind of hang on to their tradition. So it seems like they're probably some of the more mind-controlled people of the world. You know, I mean, what am I trying to say here? I'm losing my train of thought. Well, anyway, they're
because they swallowed the hula hoax,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, I understand.
They're being manipulated in such a way that makes them serve as perfect little operatives. You know, if they are afraid that everybody's out there to get them, then they're not going to respect people, and they're not going to have full compassion when they're completely paranoid that the whole Gentile world wants to roast them on a spit. But then at the same time, there's people within their group that are causing all of these problems that we're seeing, so then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the more we wake up to it, the more isolated they feel. And I don't know, I would hope that we could see more Jewish people doing what they're doing in the BDS movement. You know, we need to come together in some fashion. And if these people truly are not Satanists and they're not into world government and they don't want to dominate their neighbors and they actually want to live in a free world, then they should start coming to the table. You know, and then here's another way to look at it. It may be
that video you...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, feel free.
Yeah, that video you posted, that lady, Reesen, R-I-E or E-I-S-E-N, anyway, talking about YouTube and all like that, she was pretty cool. Now, I don't know, she was... I'm not sure if she was had a Jewish background or what the deal was, but she was spot on if she was Jewish.
Yeah, I think we need to be careful to not get sucked into divide and conquer. You know, we need to be... You need to keep our friends closer, our enemies closer, and we need to be real careful about people's motivations and, you know, what's behind their eyes, so to speak. But, divide and conquer is the way they get this done. You know, they want the blacks and whites going at each other's throats. They want the Latinos and everybody going at each other's throats. I mean, if you go into California, the Latinos and the blacks don't like each other. But I tell you what, something interesting about California is that I feel this is a conspiracy. You got neighborhoods of Latinos that are going after each other. Just depending on what street you grew up on, they're killing each other based on what block they live on. And you get the same story from Southern California, whether you're talking to the blacks or whether you're talking to the Latinos, the Mexicans. They tell you, after the Vietnam War, some soldiers came back and started a gang. They got the same exact story. And simultaneous to all that, or just after that, was the whole the real ramping up of the drug war, and then the whole Iran-Contra thing, and the whole CIA cocaine running thing. So to me, from what I've learned, like the CIA, their biggest thing is mind control. Like the whole Operation Paperclip thing and all that was really more about mind control than anything else. So you can see that divide and conquer going down in Southern California. And I think other than just getting the drugs out and creating the fear and having the crime and all that, they're also messing with real estate values down there. They'll ruin a neighborhood, kick everybody out, and then raise the prices on that neighborhood to the moon once they've kicked everybody out, basically. So, I don't know. The whole story is pretty deep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, if you're not for the freedom and liberty, the Bill of Rights in this country, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Mexican, Jewish, not whatever, you know.
You're totally right, Katie. And on that note, we got to close the show for today. I appreciate everybody coming up. Y'all enjoy your weekend.